Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I would like to welcome you back to Waves of Glory here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a wonderful day in the kingdom. Amen. God is God, and He is still on the throne. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have come in this house and gathered in His name this morning to worship Him, to magnify Him. We have also come into this house to equip the body of Christ so that we might wage a good warfare today and walk away victorious with every battle. Listen, our topic this morning is mastering your mindset for permanent victory and continuous breakthrough. This is a message that I would like to release to you as we are getting ready to cross over into year 2016. And when you cross over, I want you to cross over fully armed, covered, shielded, protected, prepared, and ready to take on whatever the year has to bring to you today. So once again, welcome to Mastering Your Mindset for Permanent Victory and Continuous Breakthrough. I like that title because God gave it to me. Last week we talked about mastering your mindset, and somewhere in the midst of the teaching, God spoke to me and said, change that title to Mastering Your Mindset for Permanent Victory and Continuous Breakthrough, because this is something that we as the people of God need to learn how to experience. We need to learn how to walk in permanent victory. We think that we have the victory today, and then tomorrow we may be in another battle and down under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? You have no business under circumstances. And so God wants you to be above only and not beneath. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. It's what we will be sharing today. It's not new. It's not a new revelation. It's the same old song. It's the one thing that God has been telling us ever since He put us here on the earth, in the earth realm, and gave us dominion of earth's atmosphere. Praise the Lord. But we sometimes let those things slip that we understand in the beginning. And this is one thing that Paul cautioned Timothy and Titus and the churches that he would minister to once he established. He's like to remember these things, see that you let none of these things slip. And so today I'm praying today that I will help you to be able to set your mind up for permanent victory and continuous breakthrough so that you will let none of these things slip. Never again will you have to walk away from the battlefield feeling defeated and feeling like the enemy has gotten the best of you. Amen to that. Because you know what? The one thing I want you to know is the devil is already defeated. Hallelujah. He was defeated by Jesus himself over 2,000 years ago. It was a public defeat, and we have been rejoicing ever since. Praise the name of the Lord. First, let's get over to the title, Mastering Your Mindset. First, the word mastering means taking control, becoming an expert, amen, becoming the top of the line in this particular field. And this is what we want you to do, to be a master over your mind, to be in complete control, to just be on autopilot when it comes to victory in the mind. Mindset. My question this morning, what is a mindset? A mindset is a fortified set of beliefs. It is also defined as a stronghold in the mind. It's a place where you go automatically. It's a place that's been there for time after time, from age to age. It's a place that's been built stone by stone, brick by brick, by our experiences. It can also be built by our traditions. It can be built by things that we read and believe. It is a belief system. Now, a mindset can be a good thing or it can be a negative thing. And the downfall for us, people of God, is when we allow our mindset to be cultured and structured as a negative thing. We are wasting the greatest power we have on earth apart from the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. And we can put our mind on autopilot for good. Right now, we're talking about, when we talk about mindset, we are talking about the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind has been programmed first by things that we have done repetitiously, things that we have said, thoughts that we have thought repetitiously. And so now we no longer have to think that way. We are on autopilot, so that if that particular situation comes up where that thought is needed, our subconscious mind takes over and we just go with the flow. What I'm talking about, let me give you an example. Have you ever been at one location and decided that you were going to go home, and by the time you got home, you did not realize how you got there? You don't remember the traffic stops that you made. You don't remember the turns. All you know is that you were at a place in the beginning and you ended up at your house. It is because your mind, your subconscious mind, was bringing you home while your conscious mind was thinking about all the things around you at the moment, setting up new patterns, setting up new mindsets, maybe even thinking about some things that you should not have been thinking about, and those things cause your attitude to change. And so your mindset, your subconscious mind, took over and brought you all the way home because it already knew exactly what to do. And so here we have struggles in our everyday life, and the struggle is with our mindset, is with our fortress and our stronghold of beliefs. What is it that we really believe is going on? What do we believe is happening in our lives? Much of the time, we need to master our mindset for permanent victory, because we need a victory over our worry. Why do we worry? Because of fear. 365 times it has been said by Bible scholars that there are 365 scriptures that say, "Fear not," so that God is desiring that we would understand He given us a "fear not" for every day of our calendar year. Fear not, because He saw beforehand, because He is that kind of a God, that we would be a people who would be fearful. And what does fear say? Fear says that I cannot trust. Fear says that it's possible that I may lose somehow. I will be on the losing end of whatever is occurring. That is what fear is. But the Word of God tells us that He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Keep those three things in mind: love, power, and a sound mind. If you have to write them down, write them down. Sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. So, as we operate in fear, we begin to turn things over in our mind. We begin to think on things. And, of course, the enemy, who is our adversary, comes to us and brings us some thoughts many times that are not our own. Many times he takes our thoughts and magnifies them, or just continuously brings us to them to us repetition. Things that have happened to you 20 years ago, let a certain smell come up or a certain song on the radio, a certain person that you see across the miles or see across the room will bring up those significant memories, and then you spend the rest of the week thinking back on those things. Listen, beloved, God says in his word, as a man thinketh, so is he. So not only are you thinking those thoughts, but you are becoming that thought. Whatever situation you were in, if you were in a depressed situation, when you begin to think depressive thoughts, you become depression. Glory be to God. And so when you, if it was a thing that had you in fear, great fear, you become fearful. And so now God is giving us a hint. My eighth grade teacher, Ms. Norman, used to say a hint to the wise should be sufficient. And so we're hoping to that you catch the hint that as a man thinketh, so is he. So your mindset is the result of the belief system that you have developed, whether it is out of your experiences or out of the experiences of others or the traditions of man. When a baby, for example, when a baby is born into the world, a baby has no concept of fear. They have no idea that they may fall off of the bed and cause themselves damage. They have no idea that a glass will cut them. They don't understand that the stove is hot. So they reach for everything that they see without fear. Fear is a motivator and a limitator. And so as children, we were trained what things to do and what things not to do. But at the same time, we were trained what things to think and what things not to think. It was a subtle subconscious move. We were trained nevertheless. So let me tell you this morning, you can also be trained to bring your mindset under subjection of the Spirit of the living God. You can bring your thoughts into control. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can bring them into captivity, the scripture says, to the obedience of Christ Jesus. That's right. You can make your mind obey the Christ in you. You can make your mind obey the anointing that God has placed in you. Once again, he has not given us the Spirit. Oh, that's the word. It's a supernatural thing going on. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That lets me know that this is a spiritual battle and can be taken care of in the realm of the spirit. We have got to engage our natural resources to help us win the spiritual battle of resetting your mind for permanent victory and continuous breakthrough. Now, how are we going to change a mindset? I was just researching some things by Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F, just like the leaf that falls off a tree. I would suggest to those of you who desire to go to YouTube and look up Dr. Caroline Leaf, because she has learned some amazing things about the brain and with pathways that created in the brain by things that we experience, things that we do, thoughts that we have, actually form like roadways in the brain. They begin with the first experience and continue to build that roadmap as we grow, so that when we come to that experience in later life, even though we may have been educated in some things, if we have not deliberately change the pathways in our brain, we will automatically go in the path of the things that we did when we were younger. For example, I'll just put this out here for those of you who may have quit school at an early age. I know when I was a young girl, that was one of the major things that the young boys would say, especially those who did not enjoy school, would say, when I turn 16, I'm quitting school. When I turn 16, I'm going to quit school. And they would absolutely quit school once they turn 16. And then you will see the pattern in their lives. Whenever things came up, when it got tough, when the road got rough, they quit and left that thing too, even though they may not have wanted to quit. This is part of the reason we now have some fathers who cannot stay with the program to be consistent as husbands and fathers, because the mindset has been fixed. The roadway in the brain even has been fixed so that they come to a certain intersection with life and they quit and make a detour. It's automatic, and they are on automatic pilot. That is just one of the instances that we can talk about today. But I want you to look into your life and see what are the pathways, the patterns that you have constructed over the years that you are continuously doing. Every December 31st, you say to yourself, I'm going to turn over a new leaf for the year 20 whatever. You give yourself a New Year's quote-unquote resolution. It means that you resolve to change something. And then what happens? You start out for a few days with the new resolve, and you're excited about it. But if you are not conscious of what you're doing, if you're not intentional on the change, guess what happens? You automatically revert back to automatic pilot and the working of the subconscious mind. And when December comes around again, you recognize that you have not changed anything. Glory be to God. But this is not going to be your portion for the upcoming year. In this upcoming year, you are going to be intentional about exactly what it is, the change that you want to make. You're going to discover for yourself what are the necessary steps to take to ensure that the change happens in your life. And also, not only that the change happens, but that it is then itself programmed for automatic pilot, and then you begin to function in that particular pathway. Glory be to God. So how does one change a particular mindset? I'm going to call it replacement therapy. Replacement therapy. Before you get to replacement therapy, I need you to understand, because we are talking about spiritual things, that we're going to have to rely on the Spirit of God. And one thing we're going to do is take hold of the Word of God. Jesus himself declared, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So the Word of God, first of all, is spirit. It's not just spiritual. It is spirit itself, and then it is life. So there are some areas in your life where you need to make some things come back alive, and there's some areas you need to just let it die, let it be buried, and let it stay where it is. But the things in life that need to be resurrected can be resurrected with the Word of God. Listen. Isaiah 26:3 says, this is Isaiah the prophet talking, and he is speaking to God here. He is making a declaration, and he says to God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Remember, I told you a negative mindset is born out of fear. When you begin to realize that you can trust God, I know we trust God. We even have in our money in God we trust. But soon as something goes wrong in the nation, we get upset with politicians. We don't go and complain to God that God has done something wrong. We start to go off on politicians, or we go off on the government. We go off on the job. We go off on the supervisor or whoever, because there's a fear element operating in our subconscious mind. But if we can reprogram our subconscious mind to remember that God takes care of those who trust in him, and he also keeps them in perfect peace. If we can do that, beloved, then we can win the battle for the mind. We can master our mindset. This week I was listening to a cartoon on PBS, kind of a show. It's a children's show. It's called Jane and the Dragon. It just happened to be on that particular episode that they were talking about All Fool's Day and how people play the April Fool's Day pranks and how they trick people. Now, one of the things, one of the teachers for the Knights of the Round Table was teaching Jane is this: fool the mind and you've won the battle. He was trying to give her a strategy of how to pull a prank that would be successful against the other people that she was running with in the courtyard. And so he gave her this strategy: fool the mind and the battle is yours, the victory is yours. And I thought about how the enemy comes and fools us on a regular basis, on a continuous basis. He comes with a lie to attack our mind. And the apostle Tudor Bismarck says that the devil is a liar and his mother-in-law. This is his life philosophy. Not only is the devil a liar, but the people he associate with are liars, and he's married into a family of liars. And so we must remember that the devil is a liar. So when we hear a lie, we know that that source is not God. We know that that source is the enemy. Every lie comes from the enemy. The Apostle John says to us that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, the source. That word father means source. He is the source of lies. So when you begin to hear a lie in your mind, you've got to do is counterattack with the truth. You've got to begin to speak the word of God into your mind. You've got to begin to declare what God has said. We've got to reprogram our subconscious mind. First three questions, I heard these this week as well, along with Prophetess Colette Margaret Williams as she was teaching us on our online conference this week. But there are three things you need to get in your mind. Get this down, write this down. It's concerning your belief system. It's how you're going to master your mindset. Question number one is, whose voice do I believe? Whose voice do you believe? I'm asking you today, do you believe the voice of God or do you believe the voice of the enemy? Whose voice will you choose to believe today? What do you believe? What is it about God that you believe? What about his voice? What about his word? Somebody once sang a song, every word of God is right, hallelujah to his name. And we sing that song, every word of God is right, hallelujah to his name, but then we don't believe that every word of God is right, because our actions speak louder than our words. If you believe that every word of God is right, then you will act accordingly. You cannot believe one way and act another. It is not possible. So whatever your actions are saying is the thing that you believe. And the third thing she asks of us is, how do I believe? How do I believe? And you believe by getting into the word of God, not just reading it, but reciting it repeatedly. I'm going to show you an example. Remember when you were in second and third grade and you had to learn your multiplication tables? You picked up the sheet that had all of the multiplication tables on it, 2 times 2 and 4 times 4, and for a whole week you would go through your ones and your twos, memorizing, putting it into your subconscious mind, 1 times this, 1 times that, then 2 times this, 2 times 3, 2 times 4 is this, 2 times 8 is this, 2 times 10 is this. And you kept saying those same things over and over and over again. You rehearsed them in your mind, and then you opened your mouth and rehearsed them out loud so that your ears could hear what you're saying. Guess what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So now you're going to have to recite the word of God repeatedly. This is where we fall off the bandwagon. We will start with a declaration. We will start with the word of the Lord, and we may repeat it for a couple of days. But after a while, we slip back into autopilot of just taking hold of things with our mind and worrying and doing the things that we're accustomed doing on a regular basis, and we let the word of God slip. We let the promises of God slip. It goes to the back of our mind or it goes out of our mind. We just forget God ever gave us a promise or said anything would be all right. We forget that he is thinking about us to prosper us, to give us hope, to give us future. We forget, glory be to God, that he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and sound mind. That power is ability. He has given us love, ability, and a sound mind. We have everything we need to succeed in life, and we receive that at birth. God doesn't need to give you anything else. All he needs for you to do is to begin to get up and activate that which he has given you. So through repetition, what are you going to repeat? You're going to repeat what now the world calls affirmations, but what they actually are declarations for the personal victory and continuous breakthrough. I would suggest that you start off with 15 minutes a day of personal declaration, declaring some things over your life. It depends on what it is that you're expecting from God. Let the Word of God be your guide, and go through the Word of God and declare, like Joseph, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That was an affirmation in today's vernacular, but it was a declaration in the Bible vernacular. The Word of God says, I am the seed of Abraham through Christ. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is seed of Abraham, an heir to the promises of God that God made with Abraham. So we can declare boldly, I am the seed of Abraham and therefore heirs to the promise of God. Whatever it is, your particular ministry that God has called you to, you can declare, I am an anointed evangelist to whatever particular people he's given you. Maybe you have issues with divine provision in your life. You can declare, the Lord is my shepherd. Glory be to God. I shall not want to. Glory be to God. And then in the Word of God, it says, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as you as your soul prospers. You can begin to declare on a regular and consistent basis, everything I touch prospers. It doesn't matter what it looks like to the natural eye. You've got to get up and convince your subconscious mind to take over and to begin to repeat what you are saying and begin to operate by itself within you as you move through your daily life. Repetition, and consistency. Don't be saying half of it today, or don't say it half-heartedly. Don't declare the word for 3 days in a row and then quit for 4 days and then maybe try to come back. Write these things down. Write down your declarations. Pin them up where you can see them, and then begin to declare them with boldness each and every day. Start your day with the word of the Lord on your lips. Let the word of God be in your mouth. Let it be a two-edged sword in your mouth. That's exactly what the word is. A two-edged sword. If you don't know a word, get into the book of Psalms and begin to speak the word. Read the psalm aloud. Go with Psalm chapter 23. When we were growing up, we had to memorize the 23rd psalm. Not only did we have to memorize it for church, we had to memorize it for school, so that when we did the pledge to the allegiance to the flag, right after that, we had to say the Our Father prayer, and we had to say the 23rd Psalm by memory. Excuse me. That was in the day when people really did trust in God, when our government trusted in God, our school system trusted in God, our churches trusted in God, and we taught our children to trust in God. And so now I'm asking you to go way back and to pick up the habit of rehearsing the Word of God aloud. One thing before we go, and we're almost out of time here, there's two things. I wanted to say that every successful warfare is based in deception, and this is how the enemy gets the battle. He gets the victory over us through deception. So you're going to counteract deception with the truth. Whatever the negative thought that comes to you today or any day, wherever the day, you're going to remember the word of the Lord, and you are going to confess it out loud with power and with fervency. You're not just going to be weak in your confession, but you're going to make a declaration that the heavens will back up and support you. You're going to have to do this regularly to decide, who do you believe? That's God. What do you believe about God? That is, that he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him. You got to believe that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. You have to believe that God is for you in every situation, in every circumstance. God is for you. God is with you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Out of make a way of escape. God will cause you to triumph. Amen. He makes you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are the apple of his eye. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything that is good, God has put on the inside of you. And when he looks at you, he says, it is good. Glory be to God. I want you to know today that I have developed my own set of affirmations for permanent victory and continuous breakthrough. If you don't know how to put together a set of affirmations or declarations, I want you to send me an email at empowered2009. That's E-M-P-O-W-E-R-E-D, empowered2009, empowered2009@gmail.com, and I will send you a set of the affirmations for mastering your mindset for permanent victory and continuous breakthrough. God bless you. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin with Waves of Glory, saying you're not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.